Isn't she amazing? She's amazing. She's amazing. Yeah. 48 years. I'd like for you to get your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We've been doing a series on the future of Beulah. And we spent our summer doing this, going through the scriptures and examining what it is that the Lord wants us to do. And today we're going to consider the subject of God's marathon toward the kingdom, because that's what we are on. And so we're going to consider that this morning. Training is necessary if you're going to win. It's always necessary if you're going to win. And as I've already mentioned, Beulah and every church consist of two groups of people: those who peer and those who perform. Those who watch other people run the race and those who run the race. It's been said before about churches that churches are like football events. You have 22 people on the field who are desperately in need of rest, and hundreds of people who are desperately in need of exercise. And he says in this passage that we should exercise ourselves toward godliness. And he makes that statement for all members of the body of Christ. If you're a Christian, you're a member of the body of Christ. And you're on your way to glory. But on your way, you're supposed to be helping one another in the faith. Well, I want to go through this passage briefly because we have things to do. And so if you'll jump on the wagon here, we're going to look at a few things of what God says. The fact is, he says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. And the first fact about this is that some will only watch the race, will only watch the event. And he just is very upfront about that. Some will depart from the faith, some will just tolerate other people, and some will be involved. As a matter of fact, some will drop out of the marathon of following Jesus in this life. He says, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Well, that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. You know the story of Adam and Eve. They were seduced by a demon that they could be more than what God had designed them to be. And the demon, Satan, the great serpent, tried to convince them that you can be more than what God made you to be. Being godly means to be everything that God has designed you to be. But the lie is, if you eat this, you will be like God and get mega knowledge. You'll be a lot smarter than you ever thought you could be. As a matter of fact, you'll be smarter than God designed you to be. And as a result, they bought into the lie. And instead of believing the lie, what we're invited to do is to exercise ourselves in finding God's real design and purpose for our life. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but God has a design for your individual life. God has a purpose for your individual life. And it will be your honor to find out what that purpose is. And it is discoverable. You have a spiritual gift. You have an ability that other people don't have, just like all the parts of your body are helping all the other parts of the body. So God has designed the church the same way, that we all have a purpose, we all have a place, and the purpose is to help one another to grow in our faith on our way to glory. Now, on the way to the reward stand of Jesus that is ahead, I want to tell you what Paul told the Corinthians. He said, test what kind of work you have done. If what someone has built survive, he will receive a reward. The day is coming when you and I are going to stand before the Lord Jesus, and he's going to look at our work, and he's going to give us reward according to the work that we have done. This is called the Bema Seat. And he says, he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 3, if someone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. So, you have work to do. You work in the family of God. You do simple things in the family, just like your body parts do simple things, and it builds up the body of Christ and makes it stronger. But what I want to encourage you in that is that, know this, you cannot lose your reward. Did you know that? You cannot lose your reward. Whatever you do for the Lord in this life, you will not lose your reward for that. I'm going to quote the Lord Jesus himself. He says, if you give as much a cup of cold water in my name, you will in no wise lose your reward. Some people are allured by what the world offers. Shiny things of material value, sometimes entertainment value, things that the world tempts us to lust for and to follow after. But instead, we are encouraged in the Word of God to run after Jesus and to enjoy the contentment that God will give you, because he promises he will give us everything that we need according to life and godliness. Don't be a world chaser and waste your life. Now think about this. Are you wasting your life every day? I mean, does it have eternal value? Satan wants you to reprioritize your life to be like others who follow the bling in this world. And others will be deceived by fake religion, thinking that they can be more like God if they eat special foods. He talks about that in this verse. Or live a certain kind of monkish life. But Paul tells Timothy that religious asceticism will not make you godly. Because you eat certain foods, do certain things, keep a certain regimen, that will not make you more godliness. Godly. He says, exercise yourself in godliness. And he has something special in mind and very distinctive in mind when he says that. Those things, just acting religious, being ascetic, looking religious, will only make you appear godly. They will not make you godly. What he says to young Timothy and to the Ephesian church, exercising ourselves in godliness is not something we watch other people do and somehow that comes to us by osmosis. It doesn't. We are designed to be in small groups. In the early church, they had small groups all over the city of Ephesus. And people went to small groups because they didn't have church building. And so they gathered in homes. Well, that's kind of what we're following, that model. Because when we do that, everyone has a ministry to do. Small groups are designed to encourage you to exercise yourself in godliness. Learn what it means to be what God has designed you to be, and then run in this spiritual marathon, this Christian life. He also goes on to say that the disciplined in our church family will be greatly rewarded. If you exercise your body, there's a payoff, right? Well, some of us believe that. If you exercise your body, there's a payoff. You feel better, you look better, and hopefully you're healthier temporarily. You see, that's the problem, temporarily. But if you exercise godliness, in other words, if you're becoming what God has designed you to be, you cannot lose the benefit ever. It has eternal value. If you exercise your body and you discipline your body, that's a good thing. It will help you temporarily. But if you exercise yourself in godliness, Paul tells Timothy, well, there's a forever benefit to that. Both in this life and the life to come. Because following Jesus produces eternal benefits. Let's read together a paraphrase that I wrote from this passage. And if you will follow me in this, I would appreciate it. Here we go. This is from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. Here we go. If you teach one another to work out at following Jesus by putting his word in your mind and heart and life, you will grow strong in faith and truth. Don't get sidetracked from the daily spiritual workouts by other pursuits that will waylay your training. There will be many other silly pursuits that promise to make you better. Don't go there. Keep working out with your godly disciplines in the Word, prayer, loving God, and people. Do this as a lifestyle, and you will be spiritually buff today, tomorrow, and forever. Fix your hope, constant improvement, on the living God who will save you from a wasted life. By working out with Jesus, the master runner, you will be saved from spiritual weakness and flabbiness. Keep telling this and practicing this with one another as you run with Jesus with your eyes on the prize that is coming. Now, that's what the paragraph says in my words. And I think that is exactly what he's saying. In the next paragraph in this passage, in verses 12 through 16, the Holy Spirit gives us the keys to making godly winners in our congregation. And I hope that there'll be a lot of godly winners. I hope that when you stand before Jesus, you will have really benefited at Beulah and that you will be greatly rewarded because of what you did here. That's my hope and my prayer. But he talks about this. What are the keys to be godly winners in this marathon? Well, he gives several. First of all, in this church, start training children early. Or the way he said it is, don't let anyone despise your youth. You can't start too young. And we like to start really young here at Beulah. Training children. We have several programs that are designed for children to come to know the Lord and then to walk in the Lord. In other words, to live the Christian life. This takes training. It's the exercise in godliness. And so he essentially says, don't look down on people because of their age. Start discipling young. Jesus said, let the little ones come to me. It's very important that you understand why we do what we do at Beulah. We have Praise Factory for children. Why? To disciple them. We have American Heritage Girls that are starting tomorrow. Why? To disciple them, to walk in Jesus. We have Trail Life for Boys. Why? To disciple them. We have a teen group for the same reason. And Upward Soccer is designed to attract people to Jesus so that we can show them how to follow him. Evangelism and discipleship programs abound here, and that's by design. And I invite you to help us get involved, will you? Help us do that. He not only says start training children young, but he also says give trainees godly models. Godly models that have credentials, by the way. He doesn't say just models. Everybody today is calling themselves a model to follow. But he gives credentialing here. He says we need leaders who are in the Word themselves. It's really important for you to be in the Bible every day because it's by that that you incrementally grow. Just like a child grows incrementally, meal by meal, we all grow that same way spiritually. He also says not only should these be people who are in the Word, but they should be people who live what they teach. There should be a consistency between how we lived and what we teach our children. People who give themselves for what they and what they have for other people. Or he succinctly, I would put it this way, he says people who read the Word, share the Word, and learn the Word. And that's why we have small groups. And I pray that you're in those small groups. First of all, he says, start training your children young. That's the first key. Secondly, he says, make sure you give them godly models, because godly models make godly kids and people. And then he says, develop your spiritual gifts. This is the third key. Develop your spiritual gifts. And that's what he says in verse 14. God has put in everybody here a certain supernaturalness to accomplish your life purpose and to also build up people in the body. So my encouragement to you is find your spiritual gift and then do your spiritual gift. It's that simple. It's what he's saying in these verses 14 and 15. So find your spiritual gift, develop your spiritual gift, use your spiritual gift. And then in verse 15, he goes on to say, be serious about your training. Give your all to the marathon we're in. Don't play around with it. Give your all. If you train, you're just wasting your time. If you do it half-heartedly, it won't do you any good. Give your all to it. We're in a marathon and we're serious about this. Half-heartedness will not make you a champion runner. Save yourself, he says in verse 16, save yourself and others from being losers. Isn't that interesting? Did you see verse 16? Save yourself and others from being losers. How do you do that? Well, you train right. You train vigorously. You're serious about what you're doing. Take heed to yourself, he says in that verse. Take heed to yourself. Pay attention. And to the doctrine. In other words, the truth. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourselves and those who hear you. Now, I want you to be assured of this. Our Heavenly Father, while we're on this marathon, while we're running, and it's a long trip, while we're running, the Father will not forsake us. You're going to have a hard time. You're going to want to quit. You're going to want to drop out. You're going to want to say, well, this doesn't work for me. This doesn't apply to me. And in that, you will be self-deceived. There will be all kinds of reasons why you want to drop out of the race. Stop the marathon, take a break, ease up, and I encourage you, don't do that. Stay in the race, in this race that we're on our way to glory, where we're going to meet Jesus Christ, and he's going to say to some, well done, thou good and faithful servant, but not all will hear that. Stay in the race. Apply yourself. God is faithful all the time. And God is not cold and distant. And I know that from time to time, we believe that, that God is cold and distant, uninvolved. We're very tempted by the evil one to believe that. Just like the Garden of Eden, we're not any different. But believe me, our Heavenly Father loves us so much. How could he prove more? He sent his Son, who died for us, who proved his love for us. And God the Father loves you. Now, I have a video illustration that I want you to watch. And I'm going to close this morning with this video illustration, because I want you to think about how God is faithful, even though you're having a hard time. I know you're having a hard time. God is faithful in this race. Don't give up. Thank you.
When troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
Will you finish strong? Will you stay in the race? Or are you complaining? I complain a lot. But I'm encouraged by God the Father, who runs on my track and grabs me and pulls me along to the finish line. And that's why we have small groups, to help each other. The Father is sending encouragement to you. And the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. It's worth the run. It's going to be really worth the run when we get there. So my prayer this morning is that you will sign up for a group, that you will consider that, that you will pray about that, that you will go to these stations and explore that. You have several minutes to do that. At 10 minutes after 12, we're going to leave here as a group and caravan over to the McComas Ranch. Well, he wouldn't call it a ranch, but it's a ranch house. Anyway, we're going over there. and we're going to the backyard pool, and we're going to dunk some kids for one reason. Because God said to. Jesus commanded it. And he says, if you're serious about following me, do this. Now, this morning, my encouragement to you has been, be in the race. It's a long race. It's a hard race. It takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of pain bearing. Don't give up. Stay here. Be in the groups. Help each other grow, because this is the will of God. I'm going to pray, and then we can go to stations, and at 10 after 12, you can watch that clock back there. We're going to our cars, and we're going to go baptize some people. Lord, thank you for your great grace. Thank you that you have made a way that we can know Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do here in this place and what you've been doing, because it's all of your grace. We take no credit, Lord. It is amazing what you do. Thank you for pushing your way out of the stands and loving us, being with us and seeing us to the finish line, for not abandoning us. And thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in these weeks ahead. Now move us, Lord, by your Spirit, what it is we ought to do. We pray these things to the glory of Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.